Feel like the Lord has given me a burden for Dallas. So we need the Lord's help to be able to deliver it, of course. My throat's not wanting to clear up. Is this my bottle of water?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to John 21 and 1. St. John 21 and 1. We'll read there a little bit. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise he showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Now Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. They said unto him, we go also with thee. They went forth, they entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered and said, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat about him, for he was naked and did cast himself in the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it was 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. Now Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and all that were there, and for all there were so many, yet was the net not broken. And Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Then Jesus cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. Christmas of, 4 years ago, it'd be, I guess, about 18. I went to South Carolina to be with my daughter, and it was my oldest granddaughter's first Christmas. So I went out there, and I was out there in northern South Carolina. And we went out, we were doing things together, went to a place to eat. And as we was leaving, there's a restaurant over next to the one we eat at, and had a deal on the deal in John 21 and 12. And for some reason, I didn't recognize the scripture, and I thought about it. So I went home. Well, I say went home, went to the place I stay in. And the next morning I got up and got out the Bible and pulled this scripture up, and I had a feast right there. Come and dine.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what, folks. Jesus wants you and I to come and dine. He wants you and I to have an appetite. He wants you and I to have a real desire to get what God has got for us this morning.
Yeah.
Now then, there's a lot of chefs across the country. But the most decorated chef in all the USA is named Thomas Keller. He is a current holder of seven Michelin stars. He's also known for the legendary Bay Area restaurant. So this morning, Jesus, you remember when you was a child and mama had come out the back door and you was outside playing and come and dine, children, supper's ready. It's supper time. Come on in and get something to eat. And you know you're hungry and you're hot and you're sweaty and you're tired. And here's mama saying, come and dine. Well, this morning the Lord is interested in you and I this morning coming and dining from God. Not just this service or another service or a Wednesday night. But bless God, we have the privilege of dining from the greatest individual that can give you the greatest food that you could ever get anywhere, praise God. And it'll far surpass even our natural food, even though we have to have that. Oh, thank the Lord. Now, the restaurants, they want you to come and dine, too. That's where they make their money, to put in the bank, make them bigger and better. Cattleman's Restaurant, I made quite famous in my preaching along. Oklahoma City, best steakhouse. And you've got to remember, folks, I eat all over the country. Not as much, maybe, as I used to, but one revival meeting was in lately. Every meal we eat was eat out at a restaurant. We eat at steakhouse and we eat at other places and we just had some good feeds. Appreciate that. But the Cattlemen's, my daughter said, Daddy, they're selling Cattlemen's Restaurant. No, they're closing Cattlemen's Restaurant. I said, oh, no, they're not neither. Oh, yeah, they are. I said, no way, Donna. A restaurant so successful as that restaurant, 100 and something years old, there ain't no way. So I got to checking into it in the Cattleman's Restaurant they talked about. It was down in good old Texas. And it was down to about the third or fourth generation of people in the family running it. And I guess they were getting tired of running the restaurant, so they decided, I guess they couldn't sell it, so they closed it. Well, today, this restaurant from Jesus Christ will never close. This place for you and I, set in stone, it is set because he was crucified for you and I. It is set because he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of God. It is set because of all power that he has to take us and bless us and work with us and help us. He's got everything we need, and we need to come and dine.
Yes.
All right. Now then, he says come and dine. Now the children had worked all night. Didn't have anything till Jesus showed up. You know, when we were out there in sin, we worked hard all the time and didn't have anything good. But the Lord come along and he began to deal with us, as Sister Molly said, and began to call her and work with her. And I was in the tent meeting there in South Carolina when the Lord began to deal with her and work with her. And she got saved a little while after that. But it's because of the call that he gave. Listen, folks, this morning, he says, come unto me, all that's a labor and a heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. He gives that call, come unto me. And then as he says, come and dine, it's still the same type of call, so to speak, only this time he wants to feed you something good.
Yeah.
Oh, thank the Lord. All right, let's go to Matthew. We'll read two places in Matthew here, 6 and 8. 6 and 8 first. And he said, be not therefore likened to them, for your heavenly Father, for your Father knoweth what things that you have need before you ask him.
Yes.
And then 7 and 9 of Matthew, it said, oh, what man is there of you whom is his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good gifts, give good things to them that ask him. This morning, thank the Lord. When you and I got saved, the greatest individual anywhere is telling us to come and dine, I'll do the greatest food that we can eat. He can feed us in any way that we need. There's not anything he can't work with. Maybe the wives in here, maybe they can't prepare every meal that's out there. But maybe they got specialty, and there's restaurant. This one that Mr. Keller here I was talking about, he has some specialties. He's a specialty restaurant. Well, Jesus is a specialist, praise God, and he can take anything and work with it, praise the Lord. The littlest to the biggest. Listen, he loves the babes. He loves to take the babes, praise God, and bless them. And he knows what we have need of. That's the thing. Lord, help us when we're doing our things with the Lord. Help us to remember that he knows what we need, and he's doing the best he can to get it to you and I. So as we come in, we need to come in with a good appetite and say, Lord, what do you want for me today? What do you want this hour? Lord, I want the best you can give me, praise God. on. I'm willing to eat it. It may hurt a little bit, so to speak. It may go against the flesh a little bit, but you said come and dine. And as the Lord gives you that thing, consume it.
Yes. Amen.
I could be wrong, but if you're a mother in here and you fix food for children down through the years and you had them come in, or even your husband say, well, that looks good, but I ain't hungry. Have you ever had a child take a spoon full of stuff? And we was in a home one time many years ago, and Rebecca was on my left over here, and on the other side was a child of the home we was in, or one of the children, and they decided they didn't want some, so they got a good spoonful, and they pulled it back, and they released it, and the food went over her plate and landed right by mine. He wasn't interested in eating them food. Listen, folks, this morning, the devil wants you and I to throw out everything he can get us to throw out, and the Lord's saying, come and dine. I want to feed you good things this morning. It may not be to the best of the appetite. Listen, today, some people don't like artichokes. Some people don't like this and that, but listen, the Lord has the best of everything if you and I are willing to come and eat of it. So Lord, help us this morning to come and dine. Hey Lord, I want everything you got. He knows what we have need of before we ask him. And said, give good things to them that ask him. Oh, this morning, what do we need? And sometimes we come to prayer and or come to the Bible and say, well, Lord, I just want you to give us something good this morning. And the Lord maybe give you some good little blessings, and you just really appreciate it. But then what if we come to the Lord and he says, now it's my turn. I'm picking out what we're going to eat this morning.
Yeah.
Instead of having hot cakes and sausage, we're going to have some good old fried eggs and some bacon and some things like that. And we're gonna get something good this morning. How is the greatest? Now I've eaten, not only have I eaten a lot of restaurant, but I've eaten a lot of the saints cooking too. And I've been in a lot of potluck meals. And you all get a good meal and you get it all spread out over there and get plenty of this and this. And when we were at Shawnee, we had the all-day meeting on third Sundays, and all day was some of them would bring certain things occasionally, and I got where I got news for you, I liked what they brought. One of them was they had some chicken, and they would cook that chicken so much, I don't know just how she did it, but then she made a gravy up, and she put the chicken in the gravy, and she let that work and stew together, and they made some good mashed potatoes, and I'm going to tell you, every time I saw that, I started licking my lips, because I knew it was going to be good. She'd have this and she'd have that. She was quite the cook. Today, Lord, help us to remember that the man that's calling come and dine, he's got the best of everything, praise God. There was a minister one time, he needed something to eat and needed something to drink. He didn't have water or food. He was going to the West Coast. It probably was nice and warm out there in summertime, going to Pacoima, I believe. And a summer meeting, and he had headed out there, and he said he'd come in to rest there, and it had been many, many years ago, way before I was saved. And a car happened to be pulling off, and on the table there was a nice half of a watermelon. Now today, you and I might be a little hesitant to eat something that somebody leave, but back then it wasn't such a bad deal. So he dived in, he had food and water. He was real happy when he went away, praise God. Oh, the Lord wants you to give you both. He wants you to drink. Whosoever will eat of me shall never hunger, shall never thirst, praise God. He's got everything we need if we're just willing to partake of it. All right, Job 23:12.
Yes.
Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. More than my necessary food this morning. Oh, this morning, Job said, I've esteemed the words of his mouth. Now, what did the Lord use against the devil when the devil come to tempt him after he'd been fasting for several days? He said, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He wants you and I to live out of this right here. Out of this word, praise God. It has everything. It's eternal. It's powerful. It's glorious. It's going to be everything that we need.
Amen.
Oh, thank the Lord this morning. All right, let's go to 1 Peter 2 and 1. I want to work on this a little bit. 1 Peter 2 and 1. Come and dine, children, come and dine. Oh, he's got something for us all the time. Just come and dine. 1 Peter 2 and 1. It said here, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Yes. And then I want Brother Tabas, give me Psalms 145 and 16. 145 and 16.
Thou openest thine hand, and satisfies the desire of every living thing.
Now then, how many of you in here like babies? Now, little darlings that are born, and sometimes people just can't wait for them to get to meeting because they want to see them. Well, here back when I went to the meeting out in Kentucky, there's a couple that is very dear to my heart, and she had a baby, and I didn't even know she was going to have a baby. And she come walking in, she's got this darling little boy she's holding, and I, where'd you get that at? She said, well, Brother Carl, that's my baby. That I said, I didn't know you was going to have a baby. Well, he was born, I think, 31st January, wasn't it, Molly Ann, or somewhere along in there, the end of the year, or the end of January. And I didn't know it. He was the cutest, sweetest looking little thing, and hold him and play with him and so forth. And those babies, they've got to have special care. You don't just take them and bounce them up off the floor and so forth. You hold them and you work with them and you love them. And you know, before long, they begin to see enough that they know this is mama every time she takes her in her arms. And she begins to feed the baby. They learn that, and they pick up on all that real quickly. And they begin to what with the mama? Bond, don't they? They begin to bond with that mother. Now, my baby granddaughter, she's a mama's girl. Now, she likes daddy's pretty good, but boy, she's a mama's girl. I tell you, I don't know if my daughter spoiled her a little bit too much or what, but she's a mama's girl. And so this time, well, there's a lot of babies that do that away. They get to be a mama's child. That mama, 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 mama. But you know why? Because mama has done so much with them. Mama has done so much time with them. All right. Baby with the mama with the baby. All right, today, when a person gets saved, the Lord wants to have a bonding relationship with them.
Right.
And when you get saved and you start out, you're not knowing much about all the doctrines of the Bible. The Lord wants you to start out learning the ABCs. He wants you to learn that God is love. He wants you to hear Him answer prayer for you, whereby it will begin a faith foundation, praise God, that you can build on, and you can get stronger and stronger, have a greater life in Christ because of the relationship that you've got with Him. But it's a bonding time. He takes you, He protects you, He watches over you, He encourages you, He strengthens you, He gives you scriptures, He gives messages. You can come to church and the Lord just give you something that was just for me. Thank the Lord for that message. Come Sunday night, same thing. Oh, that was wonderful. I enjoyed that. That was just for me. The Lord just giving you special things, see, because you're the baby. And not only does maybe, Lord help me here, not only does the babies get spoiled at home a little bit, but we don't want to spoil the babies at church too bad. But mother, we've got a life to live. We've got a love to give right along with the Lord, that those children, when them babies show up, they feel right at home right here with you and I. Tell them, I love you. Put your arm around them, brother and brother and sister and sister. Let them know you belong here. If you have any needs, if you're sick, whatever it might be, let them know that they can call you anytime for prayer, morning, noon, day or night. Whatever it might be, let them babies know, because you want them to bond with God. If you need to talk to me, the pastor I'm talking about now. If you need to talk to me, give me a call. If you've got a question, give me a call. I'll come and help you. Yeah. Brother Leslie spent a lot of time with me. Oh, I love that man. And he and I had a great relationship. And he would come down to where I worked because I either was working at a service station or my partner and I had a service station. And so there's times that he could come and we could spend quite a bit of time because there wasn't nobody bothering us. And he would talk to me. He would give me things that the Lord give him for me. There's one time I happened to miss a Sunday night, and he felt like the Lord wanted him to come down there and preach that message to me the next Monday morning. That's what he did. See, now that's a pastor. He just coming and taking care of this old boy. I'm a babe. See, I was about 1 year old when he showed up at Guthrie. Just about one. I got saved in the fall of 71. He come in the fall, if I remember right, of 72. So I've watched his children grow up. They got married, went to part of their weddings, watched their children grow up. Now I'm watching the third generation of children grow up, working with them all down through these years. But he took good care of me. And the Lord's smiling down. Now, saints, help us take good care of the babies. Help us to spoil them in a sense. Let them know we're here for you. I preached a message in Guthrie on being thankful. And sometimes, folks, we don't tell people enough that I thank you for what you do.
Yeah,
husbands, do you tell the wife, thank you for the meal?
Yeah.
Do you thank her for cleaning the house or whatever she might be doing? Do you ever thank her for that? I love to go, since I've done gender work off and on for many years, I love to go in malls. Well, I say I love to go in malls. When I go in malls and I see one of these people pushing a cart deal around, and they got all these things in there, I slip up close to them and say, I want to thank you for what you're doing. Because
right.
I know it's a thankless situation.
Right.
I don't get too many thank yous at my cleaning. Oh, but today, we want to take good care of the babies.
Yeah.
Want to take good care because the Lord takes good. And I didn't know I was going to get in this like this. But Lord, help us this morning to be sure that we're very baby conscious, so to speak. And taking them and holding them, comfort them. I had a bad heartbreak many, many years ago. I wasn't just a real little baby, but I'm going to tell you, when some of them found out what had happened to me, what did they do? They were right there.
Yeah.
Brother call this, brother call that. One person from the print shop wrote me a 6-page letter telling me how they had got victory right along the line of that heartbreak, only theirs much more serious. Their husband had left them. Husband had left them, so she took time. And do you think that I just took that letter and pitched it? No. I read it and kept it. I kept it for several years. Might still have it in my archives at my desk. But the bottom line is, Lord, help us. We want everybody to come. We want everybody to be blessed and fed and encouraged and strengthened. We want everybody to feel right at home. All the guests that come, you don't know where they're at with the Lord, but let them know we're glad that you're here. I went to LaRonja here one time, many, many years ago, and Brother Ed was pastor down there and had a message, and I couldn't tell you what I preached on. But one thing I got on evidently was something like this. And so I guess after the service was over and people going out, we're sure glad you're here, brother. We appreciate the messages. Oh, we just love you. So after everybody gone, I went back there and spoke to him. He said, as far as I'm concerned, you can come by about every 6 months and preach that message. In other words, he was getting some, we're glad you're here. Have you told Brother Tavis, Brother Henry, you're glad they're here? Did you tell Brother Darrell, we're glad you're here? I didn't know I was going to get, Lord, help us. But the bottom line is, we need to know that we love one another, we appreciate one another, and we're glad you're here, praise God. We appreciate the truth. We appreciate the testimony. We appreciate what you're doing. And that's not only the preachers only, but there's trustees and there's hard workers, and I like to send thank you notes after I'm in revivals and stuff and let the people know I appreciate everything you did.
Amen.
Even camp meetings.
Yeah.
There's a lot of work going into camp meetings.
Right.
So how are we doing with the babies? Now then, we should desire the sincere milk of the word.
Yes.
We should desire that. We should want that. That ye may grow thereby. That's what's going to get us off to a good start, praise God. It's reading the word of the Lord. And like I said, you're not after the deep doctrines of the Bible. You're not after strong meat. It's what you're after is the things of the ABCs, are the early things of the sincere milk of the word that will help you to know more about God and build a relationship between you and God. All right, let's go to Luke 9 and 11. Luke 9 and 11. This is where he fed the 5,000, I think it was. 9 and 12. Now when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. But he said to them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For there were about 5,000 men. I think in another place, if I ain't mistaken, it said about 5,000 men plus the women and the children. Now then, folks, I've never preached to 5,000 people. The biggest crowds would have been a Mark that I preached to. But the bottom line is, there was a great number of people here. This was not just 5 or 10 or 15 or this crowd here. This was a number of people. And he said to his own disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so and made them all sit down. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake and gave to the disciples to sit before the multitude. Now then, and they did eat and were all filled and were taken up of the fragments which remained of them, 12 baskets. Yes. Now, the Lord, you go to Monarch, and you look at a crowd at Monarch, and you've got people of all even other nationalities over here, from Germany and maybe old Mexico and different places, and they're up here. And you think about it, folks. Jesus takes and he says, come and dine. And you know this year, Brother Tabas, I think I told you this other night, we had a hot, dry Monarch. Yes. And it was a little bit rough, but he sent us a breeze. Yes. But I'm going to tell you, he blessed the word so richly, yes, so anointingly, so powerful, that it made up for everything else. I was ready about the end of the meeting to say, hey, Brother Michael, I tell you what let's do. Let's go another week. I was so blessed in that meeting, and I've been in a lot of Monarchs since 1975. I've only missed one Monarch. And in all those meetings, this is one of the best. This would be in the top 10, if not about the top 5. But you think about it. The Lord now is able to take the multitude and feed them. Whether it be 1 or 50 or 100 or 500 or 1,000 or 2,000, 3,000, he's able to feed them individually. And this morning you go there and you think, well, wonder what I'm going to get. He's got yours already to go and he's going to feed you. He fed the multitude. And I could be wrong, but I guarantee it was some good fish and some good loaves of bread. Had a couple down in South Carolina I loved dearly, and he was a very charismatic man, and people loved to come to their house. About any time you went, there was somebody there besides them. And I went in one night, and I don't remember anybody being there besides Sister Jereen, Brother Sire. He said, I got some fish and bread in there. Would you like some? Yeah. So I went in there, and they got bread, the fish, and warmed it up and got the bread. I'm sitting there and thinking, you know, this is just like the Lord, feeding fish and bread. Now, the best fish house I know of is down in Mississippi, the best catfish I've ever eaten anywhere. It's very, 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 very good. But I'm going to tell you, when the Lord serves fish and bread, it beats it all. It's the best of best, praise God. And all he told them, just sit down here. Let's feed these people. Just get them set down in 50s here, and we're going to feed them. All right, let's go to another place. 1 Corinthians 5 and 6. Come and dine, children, come and dine. Now, how often are you dining with the Lord? You do it once a day, twice a day. Brother Ed Searle, Edward Lee, when I was Pastor Guthrie, he got up one night, on Wednesday night, and he said, now, he said, they teach out in Babylon tithing 10%. And he said, I want to put another challenge on you. What about giving 10% of your day to the Lord? That'd be over 2.5 hours. Now, there's many times I spend way more than 2 hours in reading and praying and studying and looking during the week. And depends on what the situation is and how much I do, have to do, or however you want to say it. But he said, give the Lord 10% per day. Now, folks, we're interested in, some of us have got maybe a little bit too much here. And maybe I ought to get rid of that. And I'm not picking on anybody. I'm patting me here. But what about us losing some here and gaining some spiritually? Have a little bit more spiritual meat, a little more spiritual vivaciousness, so to speak. Have a little more when we come to Wednesday night. We're fired up to come to service. How much do we pray for morning service and night service and Wednesday night service before we get there? Well, that's the preacher's deal. No. It's for all of us. We all have got a part in this. So consequently, if you and I will pray for the service as we're going up to it, during it, listen, the devil don't want you and I to get anything. He wants to stop this flow of good food to whoever he can, and he wants you and I to go out of here empty where the Lord said, come and dine. Listen, we need to pray, God, come right down and pour it on. Praise God. Let them know that this is good. I've had people say, I've never been in a service like that. Or I've never heard singing like that. I've never been in a funeral like this. I've been in different funerals down through the years, and ain't nobody beat a saint's funeral. Nobody. So Lord, help us today to just get all we can get. How much? The Lord said, come and dine Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's 7 days of dining. How many meals do you eat of a natural food during the week? You eat just one time a day? 2 times a day? Now, some people do different things. I realize that. As you get older sometimes, that might change a little bit. But the bottom line is, spiritually, we can't eat too much. Amen? We really can't eat too much, because the more we eat, the more we learn, the better and deeper we get, and the greater Jesus is blessing us and helping us to see and understand more about Jesus Christ. And that's what he wants. All right, 1 Corinthians 5 and 6. Let's read here. Your glorying is not good. Knowing not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven neither, but with the leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators. Now, John 4 and 30 through 33, he's talking about, remember there were the children, well, his disciples come up to him there and said something to him, and he said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Now, I don't know about you, but I like steaks. I can eat steaks. I need different meat. I mean, I'm not just only a steak eater. I can't afford it. Not all the time. And can't even afford to go to Cattleman's that much. But the bottom line is, good meat can be good for you. And so consequently, he said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Listen, that meat, now it goes on down there, he talks about the will of God. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Now then, that's part of it too. But I'm thinking here of just you and I eating the good steaks out of the Word of God. Getting the things that the Lord would have us to get of the real as we're growing now, as we're getting older, and where we can have strong meat, the Bible said. The Lord wants you and I to get a hold of that and eat that.
Yes.
Now then, he said in sincerity and truth.
Yes.
But with the unleavened bread of sincerity.
Yes.
Listen, what the world needs to see today is a body of people that's sincere. Very sincere. And the truth. We need to show the world what the truth is. We have gone so far away from God as a nation that when they overturned Roe versus Wade, the United States went crazy. Well, this is woman's rights. What about the baby? Now, come on. What about the baby? The Bible said, thou shalt not kill. I mean, point blank, it don't take a PhD in psychology to figure out that murder is murder. Thou shalt not kill. And when you kill a baby, you are killing and committing murder. And there's going to be a lot of women that meet that on the day of judgment and on the day of their death. One woman dying. She had done self-abortions to herself and aborted several children. And as she was dying, all of a sudden she got real excited. And they was there in the room with her there. And they were looking at her. And something, they knew something was wrong. Said, what's wrong? Said, all these little fingers is pointing at me. She had a vision of these little fingers. Listen, folks, God doesn't take it very gentle when people are killing the babies.
Yes.
That's how far a nation has gone from God. It's all about people's rights. And I'm not saying people don't have a right. But there's a balance to it. There's a balance to it, and that balance is biblically. And they need to hear the truth. They need you and I to live the truth. And we're going to live the truth because we're eating the truth. We're partaking the truth. We're getting into sincere things of the Word of God in the depths of it. And we're partaking of that and thanking God. And we're going out there and we're living this life before the people. I had a man. My brother's a body man, painter and body. He does mostly body work anymore. He don't do much painting, but he can do painting. Anyway, he went on a trip, and I had some time at home, and so he told me Terry could use some help. Well, I'm not no body man. I don't know much about that stuff, but I can pull parts off of cars and different things. And so Terry said, come on up, Carl, and I'll put you to work. This has been many a moon ago. So I went. I got to working with a man, couldn't even tell you his name now, but this man had been out and been to different churches down through the years, and he was talking to me, and he said, yeah, he said, they claimed to be a Christian, but said they was acting this way and this way, and he said, I just didn't like that, and I said, he took him and he pitched him in the hypocrite trash can. And he done that for several days, and I didn't say a whole lot, best I remember. I didn't condemn anybody, best I remember. This has been a long time ago. But the bottom line was, I was listening to what he was telling about the people that he had looked at in church services and so forth, and he was condemning them. And then one day he mentioned a saint. And I knew this man. I knew him quite well. I'd been in his home. I'd preached to him many times, been in service with him quite a few times. Well, many times down through the year, meetings and revivals and camp meetings and so forth. And he mentioned him, and guess what my ears did? They perked up real high, and I thought, what's he going to say?
Yes.
What's he going to say about him? If I mention him, some of you might know him, but I'm not going to mention no names, but I love the man. Anyway, he mentioned him, and he started talking of the good. This man had lived truth before him. He had lived a sincere life. He had lived the sincere word of God. And that man, it got his attention. And he didn't put him in the hypocrite trash can. He lifted him up on a pedestal, so to speak, and said, now that's a church, that's a real saint or whatever he called him. That's somebody that lives the truth. Listen, we need to do that, folks. We need to do that whereby they look at us and they say, there goes the saint of God. And you do it by coming and dining. You do it by eating the meat that the Lord has for us when you get old enough now and you're eating that meat and partaking of that, just like Jesus did, so to speak. And listen, he spent a lot of time with the Father. He prayed all night sometimes. Getting leadings and guidings, knowing the will of God, doing what the Lord wanted him to do. This morning, come and dine, children, come and dine. The Lord has some wonderful things for you and I. Come and dine. Oh, today, are we coming? Are we dining? How much are we dining? Now then, if somebody come in and they decided that I'm going to take all your food out of your house and you can't get anything, what would you do? That'd be a little scary, wouldn't it? Could it happen? Maybe. But the bottom line is, the devil wants to come in and steal everything he can. He's interested in doing that. He's interested in taking away the things that we ought to cherish highly. I highly esteem the words, the word of God, and the things that Jesus Christ has said. We need to highly esteem them better than anything else. I was in Tulsa Chapel one time many moons ago, and I have a 26 translation. There's three of them in the set that I have. It's a set. And so I don't know where the wife and one daughter was, but I had one with me and she had one with her. Probably somebody's sick, I guess. But anyway, she's sitting there and she got a hold of this book, and I mean, she was flipping pages and so forth. I said, whoa, whoa. I said, that's valuable. Don't tear them pages out of that book. And I was gentle with her as I could be, but I just let her know, listen, this is valuable. Listen, folks, this is valuable. There's people over in Africa and Germany and, well, I don't know about Germany so much, but Russia, places that they cannot hardly get their hands on this, and they would give everything they got nearly to get a hold of a Bible. Do we esteem ours that highly? Do we really appreciate it? All right, now then, when the Lord has fed us a good meal, I don't know here, do we go home and thank the Lord for the meal? When he gets through at home, we've had a good feast. Now listen, folks, he can take one word out of one scripture and make a feast out of it. Or two words. Recently, I went to sit down in my chair, my recliner as I call it. Molly gets to sit in too, and Paige, but it's basically my chair. And I was just about halfway down, and one of my favorite scriptures come to mind. It said, I lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Yes. That hit me, my help. Yes. Another time recently, well, it's been over a few months now, there's a scripture said, ask and you shall receive. Do you remember, look back in Luke, what is it, 11? And that says there, it said, I say unto you, ask. Yes. The Lord's telling us to ask. He's telling us to come to him and say, Lord, I need something. It said, let us therefore come boldly in the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. Yes. My help. Yes. I say unto you, ask. You know what that did? It fired this old preacher up. It gave me some new understanding, some new depths that I had never seen before. And I've looked at them scriptures. I've read them scriptures. I've wrote them in cards and sent them to people. I've done all of these things. And yet, two words stood out, or five words stood out. Oh, that was good, Brother Davis. That was good. Praise God. Gets you fired up. So it don't take a whole lot of the Word of God, by his inspiration, by his feeding, to fire you up and get you going, praise God. You can be down, you can be discouraged, but you're coming and dining, see? And you're saying, Lord, I need something. And when the Lord gets through, woo! You're going, thank God. Oh, wife. There have been times I've wanted something and wanted to be led, wanted to be guided, and I didn't know which way, and I prayed over it and wasn't getting anything. I remember one thing in particular. Somebody wanted us to come preach to them on the side of a mountain in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And this was one person. This wasn't a crowd like this. This was one person asking me, Brother Vader McMillan's sister, Mary Rogers, was asking Rebecca and I to come over there and preach to her. Well, I don't have no problem, but I'm trying to get it worked out in my mind how I'm going to do this. And I couldn't get it figured until one day he just opened it up so plain.
Yeah.
When I got through praying, guess where I headed? I got it, dear, I got it. She looked at me and go, what you got? And I told her, she said, let's go.
Yeah.
And like, Molly, let's go.
Yeah.
Ain't no holding back here, let's go. Listen, folks, he can make anything. He can make the, Brother Austin's, well, I'm trying to quit now. Lord, help us here. I'm trying to quit. I even got this in my hand. But Brother Austin Wilson said there were some scriptures, and this is a man that had intellect. He had a, what do they call it there, a photogenic mind. That's what Brother Ed told me anyway. Had a photogenic mind. And he said that there were some scriptures in there that he had prayed over and read over for years and couldn't get the understanding that he wanted. And then one day just out of it just all come to him. Now, why did it take that many years? I don't know. He didn't know neither. The great Brother Austin didn't know. But the bottom line is this. God gives it to us when we need it.
That's right.
Now that's the thing. When you and I need something, he can give it to us. And maybe he's taking us on a line of truth. Maybe he's taking us on just some different things that he's working with. Remember, he's working with you and I. And the bottom line is, when Rebecca had died, I was begging the Lord. I said, Lord, she was so young. And he spoke to me. He said, age don't matter to me, child. It's eternity that counts. That set my mind a-whirling. The tears stopped, and it so startled me that I got to thinking of the other side, praise God. It's eternity that counts. It's eternity that you and I are going to, and the Lord wants us to be ready when it's time to go.
Amen.
I appreciate your time, attention this morning. Pray for me. I want to make heaven my home.
Amen.
Appreciate you letting us come down to you with
you. Amen.
Brother Marty, let's talk to him. I said, what's your next move? And we got to be in advance with working together somewhat. He said, well, this and this and this. He said, Dallas has got a meeting. I'm going to Dallas. He said, I like to go to Dallas.
Amen.
I said, yeah, I like to go to Dallas too. Good morning. I ain't down here for a while with me, but I said, I could come where you do sometime. And he said, I like to go down here. Well, I do too. Much of a little
more. Amen.
Let me all.
Amen.